You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for your successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And if I haven't seen the name Stephen Douglas pop up in my social feeds on such a consistent basis, oh my goodness me, you've got good awareness out there, Stephen Douglas. How are you? Welcome.
Yeah, I'm very well, Julie, and I'm pleased to be invited onto your podcast. I've been looking forward to this opportunity for a number of months. I've been haunting you over social media, I guess.
I love it. You do it very, very well. And for anybody else out there that doesn't know Stephen's name as yet, I'm sure it'll be reminded of you that he is in the whitening space. And so he's national manager for boutique whitening, but he's also the creator of the Whitening Project. And the Whitening Project is whether you are using boutique whitening or any other whitening brand, or you are thinking about establishing a whitening process in your practice, or even if you've got a whitening process in your practice, you have created quite a unique sales funnel for dental practices to be able to use, haven't you, Stephen?
Yeah, that's right. It's, if we go back sort of pre-COVID, which is a really bad time to launch any products in any marketplace, but let alone teeth whitening. And we got over 600 practice visits in before COVID sort of struck everybody down. And what was interesting is going around practice to practice throughout the width and breadth of Australia, is finding the problems experienced by dental practice in this, what was supposed to be a simple market, it's a confusing market. It gets overcomplicated. So with what dental practice told me, I decided, how can we help them? So we built what is a training platform and program where we go practice to practice. This is the business of whitening. It's not the clinical side. Well, it includes the clinical side. That's actually very straightforward. But how can you make whitening or teeth whitening get a productive, efficient, profitable business within a dental practice? And that's why we created the Whitening Project.
It's just terrific, and it's really tapping into, we need to look at the opportunity of whitening slightly differently. We've had many years now to incorporate it into what we do as dental practices. We've also had the added kind of interruption and complication of having less than professional environments offering tooth whitening to the public as well. But before we go down that path, give our listeners an indication of what your history has been. What's brought you to the whitening space?
I actually include this about the about me part when I'm doing the training programs. And I often start off and say, I'm not really sure how I ended up here at the end of the day. You know, I spent 25 years in the paper industry back in the UK when I was a young boy at the tender age of 18. And I kind of fell into whitening in the early 2000s in the UK. I guess before I saw sense and left those shores and came and emigrated here to Australia. But it was those early days in the UK where whitening was completely unregulated. Anybody could sell any type of peroxide to the public, to dental practice, to anybody. And in those days, we had the largest online store in Europe for selling what was the American brand, Crest White Strips. And you could supply it to the public, and we were. But it was 12% hydrogen peroxide. And people sort of said, well, did it whiten teeth? Well, it did. But it also put peroxide on the enamel and on the gingiva as well, which is really not that great. So when they quite rightly legislated teeth whitening in the UK and European market, and then subsequently globally, it was a case of, well, how can I still go about helping the public? And that was to train and educate dental practices, because that's the route to market, or the legal route to market. So hence why when I landed on these shores that we created the Whitening Project for dental practices to help their patients at the end of the day.
Fantastic, fantastic. And it's interesting, a lot of the time we don't know how we ended up where we end up. Life is an evolving journey. It has to be organic, doesn't it? But I'm pleased you arrived there. And recently, you know, because I have been observing you from afar and admiring the work that you've been doing and intrigued about the work that you do. And more recently, you assisted one of Amina's and my coaching clients with introducing whitening. They already had a whitening process, but to introduce your methodology behind how to implement this as a very powerful resource and opportunity within your dental practice. And, you know, I have been absolutely impressed, as has the client as well, with how quickly you got them up and running, your availability of time and resources to get this happening really well. And they're using the boutique whitening product as well, which looks absolutely beautiful. And it's all, you know, white label, so it's customized to the practice. It looks stunning. And luckily we've got a client who's also understands the visual appeal. So she's set up a whole bunch of stands and advertising opportunities to really promote it. But you've got a very elegant system down pat. And how long have you been rolling out the whitening project? What year did that come into existence here in Australia?
So as you know, when we launched boutique at the wrong time in the global economy, and we've probably done now since 2020 over 2,000 training programs, where because of COVID, we launched them online by Zoom, because we kind of had to, which is a little bit impersonal, but it was just repeated and repeated. But now what's interesting is, I suppose over the last 6 months, now we get a little bit free of the world again and we can go back out. The reality is we need to be in front of our dental professionals, need to see the whites of their eyes to understand the problems, the trials and tribulations they're going through. And being in the practice, you can actually see what's happening and see whether things will fit, how they will work, and then bespoke tailor them for each individual practice. And I think that it's the old way of promoting and marketing and helping and working with our clients so that they become fully successful. And the way to do that is to be in front of them. It's a little bit tricky in Australia because it's a big place. But at the end of the day, we have to do what's required to ensure that we help our practice to help our adult patients, because that, as you alluded to before, that is one of the fundamental problems that we've got within the teeth whitening sphere here in Australia. Is the education's been carried out by the wrong companies at the end of the day?
Yeah, that's well said, because, you know, it's really opened my eyes up too. I had that same, I think, common perception that tooth whitening is something that dental practices, it's a great idea to actually to have it within your practice, whether it's heavily promoted or not is probably, you know, many practices may not be actively promoting it. The barriers around having it be successful is getting the dentists comfortable enough to say to a patient, have you ever thought about tooth whitening, and asking that most basic question. And it's much like how hygiene is perceived by a lot of practices that don't yet really, haven't really tapped into the power of hygiene. Oh, the purpose of hygiene is so the dentists don't have to do the cleanings, and it's effective as long as the patients are slowly converted to a hygiene program. But that's all very surface level stuff. When you go a little bit deeper, that's when you're talking about this is a true business opportunity for a practice where everyone is winning out. None of this is at the cost or expense of the patient experience or outcomes. This is making sure that we are using that same example with hygiene. You know, Sue Ruzelin is out there talking about the power of hygiene. And when I was exposed to what she spoke about, I was like blown away. Gosh, every dental practice must have a hygiene department that's really implemented in a very powerful way. And then this is what you can achieve is extraordinary. But whitening has that same level of opportunity underlying that surface level understanding that most practices have about it.
It has. And I find that, you know, what I generally find when I talk to dental practices is that dentists in particular will kind of don't see the value, and this is a generalization, but they don't see the value of whitening as per se as a treatment plan, which is, you know, that's fine. I get it. I understand it. But the demand from the patients it's incredible, even in what is a small marketplace in Australia. And I certainly find, depending on the workflow through a practice of whether a patient comes into a dentist and the dentist may whiten the teeth, or it comes into the dentist and then the hygienist or the OHT might whiten the teeth. To me, it sits in the hygiene department for sure. You know, let the dentist do their fantastic work that they do. But this is a nice part of the hygiene process where it's an add-on to completely overhaul the smile at that level. And, you know, that's what patients want. And if we're not interacting and having that conversation with patients, and the numbers that the ADA now report back, you know, people considering whitening, which is huge, they'll go and scratch that itch somewhere. And the problem we have is they'll go and find a solution from, you know, we've talked about this between us ourselves, and, you know, at salons and spas and hairdressers and tattoo parlors and supermarkets and online pharmacies and illegal websites. And they're the companies that are leading this education of teeth whitening in Australia, where that's really bad. And not being disrespectful for companies, that this business should sit in the dental practice, whether that's in the dentist or the hygiene, it absolutely fits. And at the end of the day, I kind of laughingly say to dental practice, you know, it's not a root canal. It's quite nice for patients. They look even more attractive at the end of the day.
No, I must do services that cause discomfort. Exactly. That's right. This is a fun part of dentistry. That's it.
It is. And it's interesting because the other thing, Julie, is when we notice when patients whiten their teeth, they become very picky and finicky and go, oh, look at that little crack there. Or, oh, if we could just round that off a bit. And, you know, that rotated inside, you know, what can we do about that? And then this lower crowding. And so it's kind of a door opener where a patient, it's the first patient, you know, a cleaner scale of polish doesn't actually make a patient look more attractive generally. But a whitening the teeth, the patient goes from, in layman's terms, yellow to white. So they look even more attractive. They've got greater confidence, more self-esteem. But for a few hundred dollars, it's a patient actually sticking the hand up and going, I care about my smile. And therefore, in time at your practice, you might be able to talk to me about some higher value treatment plans. You know, it could be some, as we said, a bit of ortho with Invisalign or some direct bonding or some contouring or maybe veneers further down the line, or maybe we need some crowns and implants in the social smile, the 3-3. So it opens the door for so many other cosmetic treatment plans for a dental practice and their patients.
Yeah, and as you say, this is a demand for patients. And so if they want this service and they don't know that your practice, you know, that their practice offers it, or they do raise it in the practice, but it's not promoted in such a way that they've got a lot of faith in the eventual outcome just because of the way it's been framed, they'll all get the whitening done. They'll just go to another place and get it done, or they'll buy a kit online and get it done that way. But it is interesting. You're prompting my brain to think about that. Why is there, you know, that whole, oh, you know, a root canal is meaty and it's good and it solves an oral condition that I feel comfortable doing and promoting, but I don't feel as comfortable promoting a purely only aesthetic thing, and it's no other benefit other than aesthetics, which I want to tap into a little bit more so in a second. I'm just going to put a word down here so I don't forget. But if a patient was to say, I've had an old white filling on my front tooth and I can see a line, a margin there. Can you get rid of that? Dentists all over, delighted to manage that one. No problems ethically around that one. Or what about I've got a amalgam filling towards the front in one of my early, my close molar teeth, and I prefer, that stops me from smiling in cameras, and so I prefer to have that white. Is that possible? Absolutely. There's no problems with that at all. Even, you know, my second tooth is hiding behind my first tooth and it doesn't look great in photographs and I'm aware of it. Is there something I can do orthodontically? Sure, no problems. But will I suggest and encourage patients to be aware of the opportunity of tooth whitening? No, can't do that. So it is interesting. Sometimes it's just a little bit of a belief thing that's going on in our brain that's making it stand out separately to everything else. But if I could talk about for a moment to try to encourage dental practices to see the power that tooth whitening can actually have for the individual patient. There is an opportunity to help people be more confident in their own smile. What does that lead to? They then have more confidence as a human being. Maybe they're going for a better job. They're going out on that date after all. They're tapping into that network of friends because the thing that concerned them about their smile is no longer there. Maybe they're smiling more and not covering their mouth up, so they're appearing more confident to other people, attracting a different type of person into their world, into their circle. They are tackling their everyday with that slight minute percent happier, more confident, more bold, which can then have an enormous ripple effect in their life. Confidence plays such an enormous role in how happy we are as individuals, but what we tackle in our life, what we take on in our life, how we actually progress in our life, to a degree that I think a lot of people aren't quite consciously aware of. And when we start becoming consciously aware of it, then we start going, oh, whatever we can do to help boost confidence levels is going to be enormous. And if you're finding it difficult to get your hook into that, then go to the other end of the spectrum. Picture a mouth that, you know, you've got a missing tooth in the front, you've got another loose tooth from perio, the staining is obviously there and awful and all the things, and how that would impact you and your life that you can't open your mouth up widely enough to speak clearly, to smile, to all, do all the things. Think of the other extreme to really understand you've got a certain level of confidence and therefore your life is, you're experiencing life to a certain degree of happiness. And how would that be impacted if the oral cavity was making you such that you were not holding your space proudly in life?
I think you've absolutely summarized it, absolutely hit the nail on the head there. And when we do the training programs, as we go through the, you know, hour and a half training, I'll just towards the end, I'll say to the teams that have been training, so what's the result of teeth whining? And more often than not, the response is, well, you have whiter teeth. And I go, what's the result of teeth whitening? Think it through and get whiter teeth. I said, actually, in reality, you're not. You're helping a patient look even more attractive, having more confidence, having greater self-esteem. And actually, the result of that is you might get a better job, you might get a hot date, you might get married. That's the result of the result. And people, it's with them. What's in it for me? People really only care about what's in it for themselves. And what we do is, we help a patient look more attractive by whitening their teeth. That's the process. It's not selling anything. And I think that's one of the problems we have. And it's a mindset here in particular in Australia. You know, the UK market's not like this. The UK market, the dental professionals just sell, and I use the word sell, they sell whitening for fun. You can't do that in Australia. It's a different marketplace. It's a much more gentle approach to cosmetic treatment plans, no matter which ones they are. And so it's changing this mindset. In reality, is because whitening is rarely taught, it's kind of not deemed so important. And yeah, it's cosmetic and, you know, and what happens, and this is through all the visits I did to dental practice, I'd say, so how do you talk to patients about whitening? How do you market it? How do you promote it? And they say, well, we don't really have that much, the nuts and bolts of it, they don't really have that much confidence. So they wait for patients to ask. And the term seasonal whitening is very prevalent here in Australia. We have seasonal whitening. It's not really seasonal. It's event driven. If a patient has a wedding, they're going to the racing, they've got Mother's Day, they've got a hot date, they're going for a job interview, that will motivate a person, an adult, to consider having a discussion with their dental practice about teeth whitening to look more attractive. The problem is that market that dental practices generally operate in is very small. The reality is, and this comes out from an ADA study, it was a snapshot, 25,000 adults, so it's not a huge amount, but it's enough of an indication, is that one in five, 20%, were considering whitening. Don't know who they are, but they were considering whitening their teeth. And because a dental practice is not engaging with patients about this solution, they're leaving this vast number of adults in Australia to scratch their own itch themselves and go and find a solution elsewhere. And it's kind of, I often refer to it as, you know, dental anxiety. You know, a classic, isn't it? I spend most of my life in a dental practice and I've got dental anxiety. It's crazy. But that is 63% of the population. So if a dental practice is not engaging about whitening and a patient doesn't really want to be there in the first place, it's never the twain shall meet. So we have to try and work with our practices so that they can transition this bridge to actually have a discussion about whitening. And what I've done is find a way where we don't even talk about whitening. Because if you're talking about whitening or you're talking about orthodontics, you're talking about the solution. But unless you know it's a problem to the adult, you can't talk about it because then you are selling. So if we can engage with our patients about tooth stains and discolorations, trying to assess whether it is a problem, and if a patient says, no, I don't care about my teeth, I don't mind them being yellow or off-white, doesn't matter, then that's not a problem because they're not going to go to Coles or Woolworths to whiten their teeth. But one in five, 20%, and this is just where it becomes a numbers game for the for dental practice owners, are going to say, well, actually, I don't really smile at the camera, and how can you help me? And once you've got the how can you help me, now you can engage about the solution being teeth whitening. And that's the magic that can change dental practices here in Australia, because APRA, the ACCC, put ADA in there. They can't police it. It's impossible. But practice by practice, by dentist, by OHT, by hygienist throughout Australia, we can change this ourselves as an industry. And in doing so, we bring multi-millions of dollars of revenue back into the dental industry, which I think they'll all be very thankful for. And we look after our adult patients who run a huge oral health risk by going to a non-dental professional.
For sure. And sticking on that point, so there have certainly been different experiences, random experiences that I've seen in the past of, you know, when they have been getting these whitening processes done at a beautician or in the middle of a mall aisle, you know, you've got Mr. Minute for your key cutting and then you've got your tooth whitening booth there. They're getting, you know, things like burned gums for sure and lots of sensitivity. I remember back when I had my practice, there was a beautician down the road that was advertising tooth whitening, but they had a dental jacket on as they were doing it, and they got in trouble for that because they weren't actually, they were giving the impression that they were a dentist. Where are things at the moment? Are these sort of other industries that are non-professional in their dental, are they allowed to be doing tooth whitening? I imagine that they are. You can even buy tooth whitening from, as you say, Coles and Woolies.
You can, and literally it's the difficulty that Australia's got is the legislation when it was set was actually fundamentally flawed. If you look at what the, and I use the UK as an example because they got it right, what the UK market did was say to people like me that were selling teeth whitening, you know, 12% hydrogen peroxide, they say, well, you can't do it. So what they did was say, right, up to 0.01% hydrogen peroxide, then anybody can sell it. Well, it doesn't work. But up to 6% hydrogen peroxide, it's only via a dental practice, or 18% carbamide peroxide. And that legislation is fundamentally correct. And this is for takeover with trays. In chair legislation hasn't changed. What happened in Australia was, and still is that all these other routes to market can supply up to 16% carbamide peroxide, which actually converts to 5.75% hydrogen peroxide. So without being over technical, it was the same level that dental practices could supply at. So there was no advantage in a patient going to a dental practice and being charged $400 for a take-home treatment. So what the ACCC did in APRA was on Friday the 13th, 2020, of all days, Friday the 13th.
Ominous.
Quality. And to be fair, they tried to help, because what they said was, if you believe as a dental practice it's in the best interest of your patients, you can now prescribe over 6% hydrogen peroxide and over 18% carbamide peroxide. So woohoo, we can change the legislation. The interesting thing there is, it's not required to get great teeth whitening results, and you run the increased level of sensitivities. So you have a scenario where the shops and salons and spas can legitimately sell take-home solutions or products to the public direct. Now, you've also got situations where there are, and I'm not going to throw sticks and stones because that's not for me to do, but there are people who train oral health therapists and hygienists to whiten teeth, both illegally and legally, in, you know, mobile studios and shopping salons. But who's policing that, and how are these people being trained and qualified? And some of it will be legal and a lot of it will be illegal, and that becomes the problem. And they can't police it, which is a challenge at the end of the day. And that's why I believe the only way to wrestle it back is practice by practice. So if we can engage the patient they're less likely to go and run that risk. And it's not just so much on the oral health side of putting peroxide on the gingiva that's like, you know, 35%, and who's qualified to do that in the first place. It's also adults wasting money on products that plainly just don't work. And again, I'm not going to name them, but there are many products out there that have been marketed as you know, the fantastic solution that will whiten your teeth in 10 minutes and, you know, it's funny colours. They just don't work. Yeah. You know, until there's more evidence, scientific evidence, to show that these other type of products are proven, the only two ways to whiten your teeth is carbamide and hydrogen peroxide, highly researched, very safe, go to your dental practice. That's it.
Love it. Love it. And so when we are not providing it as a viable and obvious option for our practices, for our patients, because patients won't naturally, as you said before, they won't naturally ask about it either. You know, it is one of those things that even the, you know, the kind of the vibe of the practice indicates that I, you know, it's probably not a good thing for me to ask about tooth whitening here, but I've heard about it at other places, so I might go off down there and get it done. But if I don't choose to go off and get it done at another actual dental practice, you know, as you're saying, the result can be quite bad. And so in order for you to make sure that when patients are getting whitening done, they're getting the best possible result for a start. They're not getting whitening done, oh, it doesn't work, it's useless, don't even worry about it. They're getting good results. Also, they're getting high level of education as well. And so when we're talking to our patients about tooth whitening and this is the way you go about it, we're also saying, and did you know that red wine stains teeth and that coffee stains teeth? And if those stainings reappear, you can either do a booster whitening or just make sure you come in every 6 months as well and get your cleanings done, make sure we're getting rid of that sort of staining. So there's education going on as well. And we are also able to let them know how to maintain themselves through the treatment. If you're just buying it online and you have any problems, that's it. You're stuck with those problems yourself. Whereas, you know, we're there to support you all the way through. We're ringing you up in a few days' time. How are you going now? And we've got that level of support and maintenance as well. And of course, the most obvious one, the patient's not being harmed. You are reducing the chances of any risk of that patient suffering sensitivity, gum damage, anything like that, down markedly. So from a professional perspective, it's like we've got a responsibility to make sure it's out there being done well.
Yeah, absolutely. And this education is part of managing patients' expectations in the first place, and then demonstrates them how you whiten your teeth correctly and safely in the comfort and convenience of your own home. And, you know, you have situations where the media, unfortunately, have a lot to blame, because they leave adult patients and children, I guess, to believe that, you know, 8 to 10 shades whiter are possible in an hour. We're not anti-in chair whitening. We're not anti-in office whitening. Don't get me wrong. It has its place. For sure, some patients, if that's the way they want to go, absolutely fine, that they can choose that route to, you know, to whiten their teeth. But the reality is, now I look at all these, and I'll get hated for this, but I look at all the before and after pictures of in-chair whitening. When was the after picture taken? It's almost immediately the patient's got out of the chair. So by rights, you're going to have a huge difference between before and after, but that dehydration that's caused that impact, you know, I'd like to see the picture 72 hours later. That wouldn't be quite such a good result. And so what you get is you get inconsistencies in the outcomes of in-office or in-chair whitening. You can get inconsistencies with take-home whitening as well, because that's usually when a patient has not been compliant. Because the biggest challenge a practice has, they can recommend the right gel, they can recommend the right wear time, they can tell them how to manage sensitivity or guide them through the process, they make dentin-specific trades. And yet, if the patient isn't going to do it at home, they won't get good results. They'll be inconsistent. And part of the training is to ensure that we give the guidelines so the dentist can educate the patient. Look, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen, and you'll get far superior results. And that is that overall education at the end of the day. It's little things like suggesting to the patient, you know, even after home whitening, your teeth are a little bit more porous. So if you're going to take your trays out and then have a cup of coffee or a glass of red wine, it's going to slow down that process. If you can avoid them, it's going to enhance the process. So it's this whole education, like you rightly say, Julie, that if we, that's where the dental practice provides value. You know, you often hear a patient will go, wow, $400, because that's the average price of take home in Australia through a practice, $400. I can go to a beauty salon, pay $99. Well, okay, did that beauty salon, did they do a full oral health assessment to look at the risk of complications like, you know, decay or holes or recession, which, you know, if you put peroxide, it's going to hurt. Or, you know, did Coles help you manage sensitivity? Now, you and I know the answer is they didn't. But this is the value that a dental practice offers a patient. Did they make dentin-specific trays? Well, a dental practice does. That's huge value. So what happens is the public perceive whitening to be a product. Okay, it comes out of a box. But the reality is it's a treatment plan. You assess, you diagnose, you find out what's caused the tooth stain. Is it trauma? Is it antibiotics? Is it just surface stains? You help the patient manage sensitivity. You do book in a 21-day appointment for 5 minutes to check the end results to see if the patient is satisfied and do they want to go a bit whiter or are they happy with the result? All this is the value of a dental practice and why absolutely they should charge $350, $400, $450. It's the value you add for a patient.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's always that it's a worthwhile conversation to have, the amount that you charge for it as well. I don't necessarily think it's a space where you should be the cheapest on the market, you know, amongst dental practices. And I had a conversation with a mutual friend. I'm sure she won't mind me mentioning this story, hopefully. But Michelle Taylor, the marketing guru, Michelle Taylor, she's glorious. And she was talking about the fact that it was time for her son to get a mouth guard. And so she went off and got a mouth guard done at the local dental practice, her local dental practice, and was, I think it was her or somebody else was in communication with another mother who had gotten their son a mouth guard as well, but it cost substantially more. And Michelle's first thought that came into her mind was, oh, I was happy with my mouth guard, but is it good enough? I didn't pay that much. Is it good enough? And so that story kind of came up into my brain when we're thinking about how much to charge for tooth whitening. Yes, you can get it for, I don't know how much it is, $20, $30 in Coles, or you can pay $400 at this practice, or you can pay $700 in this practice. Gosh, if I can afford it, I might go get the $700 one because that's kind of guaranteeing greater value.
It's right. It is the value. If we don't see value in something, then we won't buy it. You know, when I go through my discovery calls with principal dentists and owners, towards the end of it, I'll say, look, you know, if I can't add value to you and your business, you won't ask me to help you. So I've got to demonstrate that value. So as a dental practice, if I'm just OCD on whitening, but I think if a dental practice can offer a world-class experience for the patients, and then, you know, what the team at Boutique do is give them a beautiful product because it's nice. The beautiful product doesn't fix anything. The clinical protocols will, but it adds to that overall value. Then a patient's going to say, well, $400, $500, absolutely, I'm all in for this. That's great. It's value for me in my life because you're going to give me what I want. I want more confidence. I want to look great. I'll have greater, you know, better
sales. Those patients will feel that. They'll get a whitening done. And then they'll feel straight away, I'm smiling more broadly. I'm showing my teeth more when I'm smiling. I can't wait to smile to more people. And that's the experience that they then take into their conversations with other people. And, you know, talking about that side of the opportunity as a practice builder, on the surface level thinking, you can think, how can tooth whitening be a practice builder? Sure, it adds a bit of money to the turnover, sure. But is it actually going to be attracting patients that are going to be returning? No, they're just cosmetic. They're going to be here for the one time off. However, a common discussion that I have with all students within the dental practice management program that Amina and I have, and all of our coaching clients as well, we take them all down this process of identifying what makes a really strong, viable dental practice. And it's the strength of the patient base, the goodwill. What makes goodwill really strong? Perpetual patients, those that turn up every 6 months, take your advice, they come up, turn up on time, pay their bills, they're delightful, they refer friends and family. So to have as your patient-based pie, if you like, the largest slice of the three slices, there's three categories of patients that we talk about, your transients, which is obvious in its term, loyals, those that don't come every 6 months, but they only ever come to you. But then your perpetuals, if you can have a larger chunk of your pie, that is your patient base as perpetual as possible, then you win. That's strong practice viability. But where are those patients right now, the perpetuals? Are they out there searching for another practice? No, they're functioning in, they're attending their regular dental practice. And so then we have to rely on that other dental practice starting to shift the patient experience to the negative so they start to look around for something better. Or we offer some reasons because of our magnificent patient experience or because of the fact that we've got this different way of doing tooth whitening as a way, just come over for this treatment and then I'm going to go back to my regular dentist again. But they've come in and they've experienced you now and they've experienced you in a most positive way. There's been no root canals. There's been no toothache that's prompted them to come by you. It's just been a positive that's really boosted their self-confidence. There's a lot of likability, authority, trust being built up in that process. And they've got to experience your dental practice team systems and decor on the inside. And it's that bit better than where they've been in the past. You will convert that patient over to you. Because you have now provided a larger amount of value, even if it's just by 10%, than their previous practice. And so I really do see tooth whitening, the whitening project, getting that team right behind it, especially the boutique side of it as well, the boutique whitening, because that is adding to the patient experience of getting the whitening done. I see it absolutely as a practice builder because it's a great opportunity where there are few opportunities to try to entice a perpetual patient from another practice over to yours.
I think you hit the nail on the head there because if you're not engaging about whitening, whilst you run the risk of a patient finding that solution elsewhere, we refer to them as salons and spas and hairdressers, there is the risk that patient might walk down the street and might see an advert or a promotion or a window sign from a practice that the penny has dropped and they do offer whitening, this experience with the practice. That patient might then inquire at that practice, and I suspect if that practice is so proactive, that patient's gone. They're lost to the existing practice. They've gone because they didn't engage to find out if, in this case, tooth discolorations was a problem or not, which is actually all we're trying to do. And the other thing that a practice can do is, and I try not to mention boutique because we're very much impartial for what we try and help them with, but, you know, we do customize all the kits for our practices. And, you know, that's a unique selling point where a product will sit on a patient's bench for 2 or 3 weeks, which will have the name and the branding and the logo of their dental practice staring them in the face. And we know because we, as a company, boutique sell very little boutique by day and boutique by night. What we do sell is a nice product with the practice logo all over it. And so we know that when that patient is out with family and friends, oh, and they go, oh, your teeth look amazing. They're so beautiful. Where'd you? And they'll go, oh, I went to see. And they'll talk about the practice name. So there is another risk element there, is that patient that becomes a referring patient to pull their family and friends into another dental practice.
A different one.
A different one. No! And you see, there's little things you can do where, you know, I often say, you know, if you think, you know, all the training that we do is based around your existing list. You know, a dental practice doesn't have to spend a single dollar on adding $100,000 a year onto their top line revenue by engaging with their existing database of patients, because it's an engagement process. You don't have to do Google ads and Facebook, and you don't have to. If you want to attract new patients, of course you can. So this is just existing patients. But if you wanted to do the cool stuff and do your social media, do your Facebook posts, do your Google ads, do your LinkedIn posts, and then maybe run Champagne Saturdays to your existing database where you bring a friend who is not in that practice, you then have an opportunity for your practice to start having discussion with potential new patients. So you can use whitening as a great leverage to increase your list through referring patients and having a bit of fun as well.
That's a lovely idea. I like this champagne thing. Gosh, that's a wonderful
thing. Strawberries on a Saturday morning.
I tell you what, my friendship group don't like anything more than a good excuse to drink early in the morning. And yeah. I tell you, you know, whitening's like that. It's not like you can say, oh, we're having an open day. If you've got a decay, come on down. We can do a filling for you. That's not very appealing. But coming in and, you know, this whitening is something that is, it's not treating a dental condition. And so it's quite appropriate to say, did you know that we offer this? And you're always going to go through that diagnosis process and only then administer it to the people that will achieve a good result without any risk or with very, very low risk of any problem thereafter. But that is a really feel-good stuff. And it's interesting, you know, what we, you know, practices think to themselves, what do we want to be known for? We want to be known to be, you know, an authority in our space, very professional, all about health. But every dental practice is like that. And marketing terms, we're always hearing, what's your point of difference? What's your point of difference? There's nothing wrong with having that very traditionally authentic professional dental practice, but layer it on top. We can also help you feel more confident as well. We can also help you get rid of that thing that's stopping you from smiling in photographs as well. I mean, never before have cameras been thrust in our face more so than in the past 10 years. It's everywhere. So people are very hyper aware of how their smile looks. And it is, you know, we are a health industry. We are looking after people's bodies through the management of their oral condition. But their oral condition impacts the rest of their body for sure. Every study indicates that. But also their oral condition impacts their mindset, their psychology as well. And at a time where people are doing anything they can to try to feel more on top of themselves mentally, come from that perspective. I mean, this is a very quick way to give someone a boost to make them feel good about themselves.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point you make, Julian. And I did a training session literally yesterday, and the dentist that I was working with, their belief was that the natural shade of teeth that matches the patient's skin tone, their eyes, and the straightness or crookedness or wonkiness of teeth, that should be natural and that's how teeth should be. And I went, that's absolutely fine to think like that, and I've got no problem with that, and that's great. I said, but unless you actually engage with a patient to find out if these things are a problem, then you're maybe perhaps not actually delivering on everything the patient's looking for. Because if you don't engage with it, you don't know. You blindly go about your job and you do, you think you're doing the great stuff, but patient might have a problem. So, you know, a patient, you know, a lot of adults don't want to go what they call the porcelain whites because it looks crazy. But often we find patients who will whiten for a week or 10 days and they're delighted. They go, that's brilliant. That's transformed my life. And that's all it was. You know, obviously some patients will want to go really, really white because, you know, that's what they believe in. But we should all just have this engagement because it does help people feel better about themselves. It really does. And as I say, it's not just about whitening. It applies to ortho as well, where you can really help people who are very self-conscious of their smile. And it does make you feel down on yourself. It does. And if we can change that by changing our mentality as a dental industry, we'll better serve our patients at the end of the day.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. So if there are dental practices out there that want to kind of relook at their team approach to tooth whitening, or they want to actually introduce it into their practice and they really want to get the magnificent Stephen Douglas in the whitening project to get things happening, what's their best next step? What does that journey look like for them?
So what I find works really, really well is to have that initial discussion with the, it generally tends to be the practice owner or the principal dentist or the practice manager also, because often this can be left to the device of the practice manager, and they really need help and support. So any one of those three, we just sit down, we have a discussion online, telephone, Zoom, whatever it may be. We have a discussion about trying to understand more about their practice. How can we help them? And the reality is, Julie, is, you know, whitening won't be for every dentist. It won't be for every practice. And if somebody came on board and bought boutique, it might not be for that practice. It can't be. But if we can truly understand what the practice is actually trying to achieve, then we can see whether we can put the right game plan into play so that we can be successful. It's understanding what would measure success for the practice. Because if we don't know what they're trying to achieve, you're blind at the end of the day. So really it's that first initial 20, 30 minutes. Let's understand the challenges you have, because some practices do really well with whitening. They won't need help, but the majority of practices also do. So understand the challenges. Let's see if we can put a plan in place. And then we come out, we train, we educate. And I'll be very open, honest. I'll make you an offer. I'll make you an irresistible offer on boutique. And if you don't like it, you just say, Steve, no, it's no good. And that's cool. Absolutely no problem at all. But the clinical protocols, the strategies work for any good teeth whitening gel. And in Australia, we have access to some great products. We've got Philips Zoom, Opalescence, Colgate, SDI's Polar, and of course, boutique. Some great products, brilliant ingredients, but the strategy of whitening, that's what makes the difference.
Love it. I love it. And you said before, you know, every practice is unique. The practices out there listening and watching to this, they will all be unique in their own right too. And our goal as service providers, product producers, is to recognize who are our market and what do they want. And one of the things they want, it sounds like, is tooth whitening. And so to ignore the desires and the pain points of our patients is not the smartest approach to the way we can promote and grow our dental practices. And so if you are a dental practice out there and you think this has got legs on it for your practice, definitely reach out to Stephen. It can really make a fundamental difference, not just to the business itself or your team and how they manage whitening, but certainly to your patient. That's the one person who's guaranteed to have a fantastic result, isn't it, Stephen? So yeah. What's your website? Am I correct in stating that it is at expertwhiteningsecrets.com?
Yeah, / teeth whitening training program. Simple as that. There's a link there for you, which I'm very happy for you to share. Just give you an idea of the numbers for practice, because principal dentists do have to make money out of this. If you see 50 adult patients a week, that's around 400 adult whitening treatments a year. That's $100,000.
That's not too shabby.
No. And the thing is, that's 400 patients who will go elsewhere to whiten their teeth.
And that's a cost we're not willing to bear. We're not willing to bear that one. No. As always, all of the people that come onto this podcast, you know, with all these services and products and advice that are all designed to help dental practices be more successful. And this is absolutely falls under that same category. So as Molly Meldrum says, do yourself a favour. I don't know if you're aware of that saying, being from England, but definitely get in contact with Stephen and see if this opportunity is going to be right for your dental practice. Thank you so much, Stephen. I really appreciate you being on the program.
Yeah, fantastic, Julie. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to just share an opportunity for practice and their adult patients at the end of the day. I've loved it. Really, truly thankful. Thank you very much indeed. Brilliant.
My pleasure. If you enjoyed today's podcast, then you should come along and join the club. The club is a whole library of lunch and learns, with new lunch and learns being produced all the time, that help your dental team gain greater success in your systems, in your team behaviors, in your patient management, in your patient engagement, in their treatment plans. They are usually around half an hour in length. And so team members can sit down, be paid for their lunch break, eat lunch while they're being inspired and delivered all of these insights and strategies that can be implemented so you all achieve greater levels of success. Also, Amina and I, my buddy from Dental Management Expertise, have a company, Dental Business Mastery, together. And our flagship online one-year course for dental practice managers and dental practice owners to learn how to very successfully manage your dental practice is available. Head over to dentalbusinessmastery.com.au to find out more information and has information about any other courses that we've got available. Also, make sure you do jump onto my website, julieparkerpracticesuccess.com.au, and you will see a whole load of free information. There are articles, the blog, downloads, templates, a whole load of things that are designed to help you overcome any specific challenge that you've got going on in your practice at the moment. If you have any suggestions of topics or guests that I can have on the podcast, please let me know. Thanks for listening.